Okay, I want to tell you about three very interesting experiments with some common technology which is required for both of them, for all three of them. These are all gravitational experiments. They're measuring something very fundamental. In the case of GPB, it's the geodetic effect and frame dragging. For LISA, it's gravity waves. For STEP, it's the equivalence principle. They all require satellite technology, very advanced technology, in particular drag-free technology. They need a very low disturbance environment, and they need precision control of the experiment, and they're all highly technically demanding as far as the control of the experiment goes. GPB is the only one of these which has flown to date, and it's given us, those of us who are working with GPB, for some particularly valuable experience in knowing how these experiments are done. In particular, the demonstration of the cryogenic and drag-free technologies is extremely important. The operations with spacecraft, we could follow it on a day-to-day basis, and we could... It was a very easy thing to see how you actually recover from anomalies in these situations. The data analysis techniques have been extremely valuable, and the data itself is valuable because you can see what the disturbances in the environment of the space vehicle is like. Now, this is a very generic slide, and this is applicable to any space missions, but the most important point here is that you only get one chance to fly your mission. And all of these points are required in order to do that. You've got to test it in exactly the way that it's going to fly. Very important is to have the right people and experience, keep those people on throughout the program. Independent assessment by a really qualified committee of independent scientists, some kind of science advisory committee, is also important. And you really need to design your satellites or your system of satellites as a single system, because if you try to separate the control systems and the spacecraft systems from the experiment systems, they're going to interfere with each other. Now, specific lessons from GPB. I'll illustrate these a little bit more in the next slides, but basically you need to verify everything about the spacecraft with a high-fidelity fixed-base payload and spacecraft simulator. Now, this is not only handy before the flight, it's handy after the flight for figuring out what must have happened, because something is going to happen, and you'll need to figure out what it was that is bothering you. Also about the payload, you've got to verify your assumptions about the payload on the ground before the thing flies. One of the problems with Gravity Probe B, which has been a nuisance to date, is the electrostatic dipole moment on the rotors. And that potentially could have been discovered before the flight, in my opinion. Environmental end-to-end testing is very important. Gravity Probe B nearly flew with a defective power supply. It was detected by essentially careful analysis of the performance of the system beforehand. There's also some problems with the electronics control unit, which actually got through and into orbit. And those problems were somewhat recognized before launch, had to launch anyway. And the knowledge that they were there was very important because we could work around these to some extent during the mission and afterwards. Time is important. I'll have a little bit on that in a minute. One of the most important points is that you've got to be able to measure everything on the spacecraft. That means you have to have a very flexible and integrated data and telemetry system. One of the things which was extremely important on GPB was the ability to look at snapshots of data We couldn't possibly have gotten down all of the data from the spacecraft that was important, but we had the flexibility of reconfiguring the telemetry to take snapshots of the high-frequency signals from the squids, and this is what has enabled the trapped flux mapping for the gyroscopes, which we believe will improve the scale factor calibrations. Now, some very good results have come out of this. The squids for the GPB met requirements with margin, so that was a very nice thing to know. Test mass charging has turned out to be much less important for GPB than we thought before launch. So the charge was very, very well controlled. In contrast to that, the surface-related and patch effect forces are more important than was expected before launch. GPB had a couple of unexpected failures. Some of the thrusters failed. Strictly speaking, they didn't fail. They got something stuck in them. At least that was the evidence. This took a lot longer to recover from. It added at least 20 days to the setup time. The initialization period took, actually, this should read 128 days rather than 60. When you're going that much over your allotted time, there's a significant risk to the mission and the science both. And so you have to allow extra schedule for unanticipated events. The changing pole hood period was one of the biggest surprises on GPB. It made the data analysis much more complex because the scale factors were varying. The magnetic flux coupled into the squid changed with the pole hood period. If it had been constant, it would have been fine, but since the pole hood periods changed, as illustrated here, it made a big problem. Classical torques turned out to be present. This is believed to be due to the patch effect. There are also some electronic noise disturbances. This is the spectrum, the time-varying spectrum of what we call the ECU noise. It has a small but unknown effect on the data so far. And there were also conversion errors in the A to D converters. There was a 25-cent capacitor which was missized on the A to D converters, and so they skipped a lot of codes in their output. And that, fortunately, has turned out to be almost certainly a negligible effect. Okay, conclusions. It's pretty simple. GPB is a really valuable thing to have done for any future physics experiments in space. We not only have the experience gained, which is very valuable in itself, but we've verified these new technologies, and in particular, we have a demonstration that these very complicated and complex experiments, very sensitive experiments, can be done in space. They actually work, and all you have to do is pay attention to the detail and be very careful about the planning of the mission. So I think that's it.
Time for several questions.
What is the evidence on the patch effect being time independent for the duration of the mission?
The patch effect being time...
In other words...
Oh, you mean, does it change during the mission? Yes. Sasha, do you have a comment on that? You're the expert.
That just changed in the mission?
Yes. Do you have any evidence?
We don't have strong evidence that it changed during the mission, but the way the data is analyzed,
Yeah.
Do you have a plan to send another mission when you do something, just do it once? And do you have for the frame dragging, is there another experiment?
Another experiment on frame dragging?
Yeah.
I don't believe there's another one in the pipeline, certainly not from us. But the experiments which are sort of in the pipeline are LISA and STEP. And they depend on particularly the drag-free technology, which is, I think, been very adequately demonstrated on Gravity Probe B.
I think you could regard LISA as a frame-dragging experiment, except we use two black holes to do the measurement.
More questions?
Patch effects are not an issue.
Okay.